What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
Welcome to another completely wasted 55 minutes on a Saturday night. I am Josh Hadley. Christine is unfortunately sleeping old people hours. She has to open tomorrow, so she is missing this week. Jillian, I'll explain that in another time. I had to drag the depths again. Hey, Charlie.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
You're pretty easy going about that whole thing now, aren't you?
I get it.
All right, fair enough. Let's just get right into this week's...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Now, on the surface, this might not seem dumbest thing, but let me finish, okay, Charlie? All right, scientists have released studies that they think the sun, our sun, Sol, is going into a state of hibernation. The sun's activity is at the lowest point it's been in 100 years and at almost the lowest point that it's been since 1645. So they're saying this could be ushering in a mini ice age because obviously, just like anything else, solar energy in the sun goes through cycles where it's high activity and low activity, right? Well, here's the weird thing. We're not going to get this ice age because of global warming. Global warming is actually protecting us from the sun's decreased activity. Is that not ironic or what?
This was an article that the whole time I was reading it, I couldn't shake the feeling that I was being fucked with. And that's like every time, like I've shown you a couple of those articles, like from the Daily Current, like before I knew what that was, I thought it was an actual publication. And
hey,
there was this,
I got nailed with that one too, so.
Yeah, it was the Sarah Palin one about not knowing what Chechnya is. I mean, it was written in such a way where I bought it. Like, it made perfect sense to me. This was that same kind of article. But the one thing I noticed is that, to the best of my knowledge, this is the first time that a joke from Futurama has come true.
I don't know. Didn't you see that thing about all the owl attacks in Illinois?
I did see that, and it
that
did remind me.
That made me think of Futurama, too.
This was a line from the first Xmas episode when Fry and Leela were on the ski lift. He said, she said, good thing global warming was canceled out by nuclear winter, or something to that effect.
That's what's kind of funny about this. Now, the reason I'm calling it dumbest thing, and I'm saying this will actually seg into our next set of topics, the Republicans and the conservative movement deny global warming is happening, right?
Right.
You see where I'm going with this?
I kind of do.
If global warming is going to save our planet, do you think they will all of a sudden go, yeah, that was bullshit, we were wrong all along, global warming does exist, and look how awesome it is! Or do you think they'll just stick by their ignorant, no, not happening, just go away?
In a perfect world, they would completely just say, all right, our bad, you were right, we were wrong, global warming is real, and fucking thank God that it is. I think we're going to get stories about how global warming was really the driving force behind, like, slavery or something like that.
Well, and you got to remember, they don't call it, only the right wing still calls it global warming. Scientists actually just call it climate change now. So
that sounds a little safer.
Well, it's also more accurate. I think it would be funny if the right wing has to eat crow, Jim Crow to most of them. I think it would be funny if they have to admit global warming, climate change does exist, but aren't you guys happy that it does? I would just like to see them totally reverse themselves, because you know people like Bill O'Reilly will never, ever admit that they were wrong. Ever.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen if him being wrong turns out to be a good thing?
That would be Jim Crow eating crow while drinking old crow.
And throwing a phone at Russell Crowe.
Exactly. That would be awesome. It's never going to happen, but goddamn it, it's fun to pretend sometimes.
So I just thought this was kind of a fun, dumbest thing.
This is the perfect setup to like an episode of like The West Wing or some Aaron Sorkin show, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it is. Because, I mean, and in a way, the liberals are all wrong. Because they were always crowing about how global warming, climate change is bad, and now it turns out it might be good. So isn't it in a weird way both sides are right, but for the wrong reasons?
Yes, this was a twist that nobody except Matt Groening saw coming.
Dun, dun, dun! So I thought that was funny. But that leads us into our next topic.
And one thing I would like to point out from earlier, and you can play back the audio if you'd like, but you said seg into our next topic. instead of saying Segway. You are a douchebag.
I'm not denying that.
Nor should you. I would like to point that out. It's been kind of gnawing at me ever since you said it, so we can move on now.
Fair enough. Hey, you know, you've got an opinion too. You have the right to be wrong. So, as we segue into our next topic.
That's what I like to hear. Okay.
Krokey-okey.
Oh, fuck.
Okay, now, the Koch brothers basically run the Tea Party, publicly or secretly. We all know this. Well, the Koch brothers, they don't like to be told that they're wrong, even when they're wrong. Even when you can prove that they're wrong. They are suing Rachel Maddow for factually backing up a report she gave about the Koch brothers and the Florida drug test the poor law. That's not what it's called, but that's what it boils down to. That the Koch brothers were behind. What does that say? When we can prove you're wrong, we can prove you did this, but they're still going to sue me anyway. Is there something fundamentally wrong with this?
There is something fundamentally, spiritually, philosophically wrong with that. That is just a massive extrapolation of a rich kid just being a dick on the playground and just ratting out all the kids because they wouldn't let him play.
There's also the fact that their lawyer said basically to avoid a lawsuit.
Oh, God.
We sent you a script. We want to read on the air. And she said, fuck you. I'm not reading your script. She satirically read a couple of lines from it like, no, I'm not doing this. Go ahead. Sue me, you fucks. She didn't say fuck, but
she, MSNBC. She stopped just short of it, though.
She did. She was very vitriolic.
I loved that video. Good God. I mean, I would like for Rachel Maddow to know that I may be a man, but I'm built very womanly.
Why don't you tell the listeners what you told me before the show about her?
I know I can't turn Rachel Maddow, but it would be a privilege to try.
But so, okay, you've got the Koch brothers sending angry letters from their lawyer and suing. And you got to remember, in America, you can sue anybody for anything. So legally, they can do what they want and it's their money. What's going to disturb me is if they end up winning. If they end up winning, that's going to be a dark day for democracy.
It's going to be like a harbinger of the apocalypse day for democracy, that if they win that case, it would be that horrible. And it's very, very likely that they would win that case.
I don't know, because they're suing for defamation and the defense against defamation is truth. So since she can prove everything she said is factual, I don't think they can win, but they can keep her and MSNBC tied up in court for years, costing millions and millions of dollars, which might be their strategy all along.
That's kind of what I meant about it being very likely that they'll win. Like, until we have a legal system that does not run on money, it is always going to be likely that dudes like that will win.
And that's the sad part. But then let's go from that to more Republican nonsense. The governor of Maine wants to lower the legal age to work to 12 years old. Before we go into the details, what are your thoughts on that?
I'm against it. First of all,
thank you.
I don't think there should be 12-year-old children in the workforce, because I thought about it for like half a second, and yeah, that's not right. This just kind of seems like a spoof of Fox News. Like,
except I showed you the video. It's actual Fox News.
It is. Like, I watched the video, and like, I'm like, they're all the right people. Those are the people on Fox News. How'd they get them to do this? It was only an afterthought that it might be real.
That's the sad part. It's real. It really is. And so basically what they want to do is, because jobs are leaving, businesses are leaving Maine, they want to lower the age to 12 so businesses can start hiring 12-year-olds to work in factories. Are we back to 1908 here? And before you answer, let me point out, most of the people both on Fox News and in the legislature of Maine that want to lower the age to 12 are the same people that helped all of the big companies move by moving their entire workforce over to Asia.
Right.
So didn't they kind of create their own problem and then going, shit, we didn't think far enough ahead?
This is kind of technically an argument against outsourcing when you think about it. I mean, there are plenty of children here in America whose lives...
That argument should be framed, though.
Probably not, but I mean, there are plenty of children here in America whose lives can be ruined by factory jobs at the age of 12. And there's nothing wrong with it, I think.
the sickest part was all the Fox News pundits, including the token liberal, that were saying, yeah, I think this is a good idea. I had a job. I had a paper route. Why can't kids be helping? And then, of course, they have to turn this into a welfare thing, right? Well,
yeah.
Then that would help with the welfare system, because if the 12-year-old can work and mom and dad aren't working, well, then he can be bringing money into the home. What kind of twisted lizard brain right-wing logic is this?
I don't know. This was the worst example I've ever seen on, like, of any of the videos that you send me, because fuck knows I'm not going to seek them out on my own. But any of the videos that you send me,
I'm like your dealer.
With, yeah, exactly, with clips from the Five, this was the most out of touch one, because not only did they say that, well, a 12-year-old kid can get a job that can support the whole family, like that you can tell they've never had to want for money their entire lives. But in addition to that, they kept saying there's nothing wrong with a 12-year-old boy having a paper route. Like, I was a paper boy when I was 12. There was nothing wrong with that.
I'm sorry, that's not what this law is going for. This is not paper routes. This is factory jobs.
Yes. And not only that, but they're forgetting that back then the streets were not, like, paved with pedophiles.
Well,
it is not a good idea for a 12-year-old boy to have a paper route in 2014. It's just better safe than sorry.
Bob Beckel and Andrea Tantaros, they actually said one of the reasons it's good to have 12-year-olds working, quote, it helps kids learn the value of money and develop a good work ethic. That, to me, Charlie, says we are priming you to be cogs in our future machine.
It's also denouncing sodomy while you're getting butt-fucked. Everybody on that show in the preceding, like, 4 minutes just proved that they don't know the value of money because they think a 12-year-old kid can get a job that can support an entire family. And the work ethic they're exhibiting by being on that show, it's literally just sitting in a certain place and just letting shit come out of your mouth as it would otherwise.
And getting paid a lot of money.
Those are the last people in the world who should say shit about a work ethic.
Let's go back to Maine's governor here for a second, though. I live in Wisconsin, and Scott Walker tried to do not this, but he's tried similar things that didn't work. I actually thought Scott Walker was about as bad as you can get. Thanks for one-upping me, Maine.
We appreciate it. A lot of history down that road, yeah.
Oh, good God, you're going there.
Went right there. Didn't even stop to look.
All right, now after that, let's go into West Virginia. Have you been keeping up on the West Virginia no one has water thing?
That one kind of slipped through the cracks. That was one of the ones that you sent me, but I did not get to that. And I only sort of heard about it in the background on The Daily Show the other night. But what exactly happened with the water?
A chemical started in a giant vat that is used to take some of the sting out of coal. Ended up leaking, and it leaked into the main river and tributaries in West Virginia, contaminating all of the water, making it all smell like licorice, but also giving you projectile vomiting and projectile shitting as part of drinking the now yellow licorice-smelling water that's coming out of your tap.
It's kind of like you take a sip. Ah, oh.
Okay, and you can't wash with it because it'll burn your skin. Can't sure. Wash your clothes with it. You can't wash your dishes with it. So basically, about 300,000 to 450,000 people in West Virginia have literally no water outside of the bottled water you can buy at a store. So
right.
they can't shower, they can't do dishes. Now, the company that owned this vat, I wish I were making this up, is called Freedom Industries. it's almost like just set me up, you know? Now, in West Virginia, Freedom Industries was a very big donor to West Virginia's legislature. West Virginia is one of the legislatures that thinks regulation in industry helps destroy the free market, Charlie. The vat that leaked, which, by the way, it doesn't make sense that the chemicals were stored upriver from the main water supply for the state. That just seems like bad planning to me.
And what was the distance between the two facilities again?
Approximately 4 miles.
Right. Okay, so what you have...
Nope, I'm not done.
Oh, okay.
It's going to get worse.
I can't wait for this.
Now remember, deregulation. These people are always deregulation. Let the industry find its own way. Let the industry, you know, let the market dictate how the market works. The last time the tank that leaked was inspected, 1991. Yeah. I was a sophomore in high school. The last time somebody checked to see if these dangerous chemicals were being stored properly. Because, you know, deregulation hurts the industry, right?
That was 2 years after the first Tim Burton Batman movie.
That was 1 year after The Simpsons went on the air.
Oh, my God.
I think that puts it a little more in perspective, doesn't it?
It does.
West Virginia has nothing to drink. They can't do anything. And the Republicans are still, to this day, Charlie, that we're recording this, pushing to get regulation out of industry, that the industry can police itself. The fact that Freedom Industries filed for bankruptcy this weekend, they said, proves our point. The market found its own level. The market didn't want to deal with them after this accident, so it got rid of them. That's completely ignoring the fact that 300,000 to 450,000 people have no water for who knows how fucking long.
Yeah. It's sort of the opposite of Hurricane Katrina when you think about it. Well, I mean, Hurricane Katrina, there was too much water and the government wasn't doing a fucking thing. And now in West Virginia, there's no water at all and the government's not doing a fucking thing. So it's sort of like the Bizarro Universe version, if you will.
But what do you think about this whole deregulation, that regulation stifles the industry? That regulating is why these industries only make about $1 billion profit a year.
I think that Nazi Germany would not have happened with government regulation.
Ours or Germany's?
I would say in that case it would be Germany's. I'm just saying, government regulations, whether you agree with them or not, prevent Hitler's from popping up. I mean, well, not entirely, I'll be honest. I mean, there's still parents to fuck their kids up and everything. You know, government regulation largely prevents people from doing whatever the fuck they want, even though if you're rich enough, you do it anyway. But at least now only the richest people can.
Doesn't it sicken you a little bit that instead of coming to West Virginia's aid and saying, you know what, this case proves why regulation is necessary, because if we don't force regulation on you, you're not going to regulate yourself or even inspect your own equipment for, I don't know, 25 years or something like that.
Okay, what you're asking is for people to be decent just because, and that's not going to happen.
I'm living in a fantasy world, huh?
Yeah, kind of. It's charming. Don't get me wrong, but yeah, no. I think people should come before money, and that is what's not happening with this story.
I mean, so Freedom Industries filed for bankruptcy. So what? That doesn't help 300,000 to 450,000 people, because they don't know when the water, because this is a chemical that's not easily treated. Oh, and by the way, there's also the side effects. All the fish, the ecology of all the animals that drank out of that river is dead. Basically, in a weird way, West Virginia just got sterilized.
Kinda.
And yet nobody is taking this that seriously. They're kind of going, well, we'll get it fixed. Realize that 100,000 animals have already died, right? It's like you realize that the entire ecology of West Virginia is fucked for probably the rest of our lifetime. Because while Mother Nature will fix itself, Mother Nature doesn't work fast. She's kind of like the government. All right, we'll be back after the break.
Creeping through my window, dance upon the wall, coming here beside me, climb into my soul. Take me to the water, down into the cool, everlasting memory, the everlasting pool.
Thank you.
burning in the sun, crawling from the water. His life has just begun. Strength of blood and muscle, life of wood and bone, searching for a fire.
Welcome to your heart attack portion of What the Fuck. I'm Hart D. Fisher, and of course, with me is Mr. Josh Hadley.
Did you just get an afternoon talk show in 1994? What the fuck was that?
I just like to have fun. We're now, it's heart attack. Hi, I'm Hart D. Fisher. Here we're going to talk about the hidden history of CIA's prison in Poland. No, we're not. Actually, we're going to talk about this Google Glassware question for hours over, quote, bootlegging a movie he was simply watching. Now, we touched on this a little bit, just barely in the hour-long heart attack, but I wanted to get into this some more. Now, Josh, you've read about this, right?
I have read about it, but I haven't had a chance to really dig into it yet, so I don't know all the details. All I know is this guy was detained for what I read was 4 hours by Homeland Security, which that raised a flag with me. Why are they involved in, for the sake of argument, let's say movie piracy? You know, we'll use that term. Why is Homeland Security involved in it? And let's not overlook the fact that the guy is wearing Google Glass in a theater. He's being a douchebag, too.
Straight up, I look at the movie theater owners and, okay, so here's what's happened, guys. If you haven't heard about this, Google Glass are eyeglasses in which Google has inserted a camera and a little mini computer, and it records what you see. Now, I don't like these things just on principle. They're legal. People can run around with them. And frankly, I don't see why any movie theater would allow a person to go into their theater with a camera on their glasses. Now, this gentleman was in Ohio, and he was at the Jack Ryan Shadow Recruit. He was in Columbus, Ohio, and the Department of Homeland Security got involved. This guy's on a date with his wife, and they seem to think he's part of a sophisticated international piracy ring. So they claimed that he was using the Google Glass to record the movie, and he was going to sell it to somebody or whatever. But like you said, Josh, they grab this guy. They grab him out of the theater. Now, granted, he's not under arrest. He's not under arrest, but they grab him. They hold him in a fucking interrogation room. they take the glasses from his face before they even have him leave. Because what happened is the movie theater called up some agents and they snatched this $2,000 gadget from his face and they asked him to leave.
But
when
why?
He got outside.
Why were agents called?
But that's what I'm getting to. I want to really talk about this because it's my understanding that Homeland Security is about terrorism and protecting us from terrorists. Why is Homeland Security in Ohio bothering with some asshole who wore his Google glasses to a movie theater? And they didn't even bother to check because it's got a drive on it, a hard drive, right? So whatever he records on it is right there. So instead of just plugging in his glasses and looking what's on there, 5 minutes, nice and easy. And the guy told him, like, hey, man, it's just my wife and my dog on there. I'm not recording the movie. I've got my prescription glasses in it now. So I'm just a geek freak. What do you want from me? Well, they interrogated this guy for, I'm told, 4 hours. And then they plugged in the Google Glass. And then they saw that, oh, yeah, there's only 5 fucking minutes of footage on here. And, oh, yeah, it is of his wife and his dog. Guys. Where are you in West Virginia with a giant toxic spill that is killing animals, sterilizing half of a fucking state, and is going to cause more dollar damage than any fucking movie piracy? So is Homeland Security working for Hollywood, or is Homeland Security working for the people to look out for terrorists? Because it doesn't sound like they're involved in any kind of action that's helping you and me.
This is an overreaction of epic proportions. Because first of all, shouldn't you have some sort of, what's that word? It starts with an E, evidence to detain somebody on? Not, he's got a device that could do this. Shouldn't you have some evidence? Isn't that required by that stupid piece of paper that our country's founded on, the Constitution?
How about the other issue, too, is the officers kept demanding he give up the guy up the chain. Give up the guy up the chain. And kept asking him over and over again, who you making the tape for? Where was his lawyer? How come you just didn't watch the fucking glasses? You gotta fucking chew on this guy for 4 hours when there's nothing on the fucking thing?
All I can think of, and I'm just spitballing here, all I can think of is they were using, a few years ago, shortly after September 11th, the MPAA was trying to put out this, you've seen those commercials that are like, when you buy drugs, you're helping fund terrorism, right?
Yeah, right.
The MPAA is trying to say that when you buy bootleg movies, Al-Qaeda is behind it. So bootlegging theatrical movies is helping terrorism. So in that regard, maybe they're thinking he's part of an Al-Qaeda Jack Ryan bootleg ring. I don't know.
Well, gee whiz, if you join the American Army, we have soldiers guarding opium fields over in Afghanistan. So are they aiding terrorism? Are they aiding drug dealers? Are men in uniform being used to guard opium fields in fucking Afghanistan? Huh? Oh, listeners, did you not know that? Did you not know that our men in uniform are guarding fucking opium fields in Afghanistan? That's right. Oh, the hypocrisy here is so fucking sickening.
The spice must flow. The opium must flow.
Yeah, the spice must flow. You're a Dune fan too, aren't you?
I am, yes. I started thinking we need a Muad'Dib to take down the opium fields.
Oh, yeah, dude. This is just ridiculous. So these law enforcement agencies keep pushing into your lives more and more over little bullshit. Little bullshit. How come the cops can't handle this? How come the fucking FBI can't handle this shit? Give me a fucking break.
How come the movie theater usher couldn't go up to him? I worked at a movie theater. When we saw somebody doing something stupid, like smoking in the theater, it was our job to go up and talk to them and ask them to put the cigarette out, or in this case, turn the device off. Why is your first reaction? And by the way, they didn't call the cops. They called the FBI. Every article I've read said that was their first call.
Why would you call the FBI?
Your first call?
Yeah, why would you call the FBI? What the fuck do they have to do with some asshole recording this shit? I mean, I know lots of fucking dumbass motherfuckers who seem to think that they could pirate whatever they want on the web without understanding that they're having data collected on them. Everything they've pirated, there's a list of it. You know, that's the big thing about the internet. People aren't as clever as they think they are. They're going to get caught for the bullshit they're pulling. Bullshit like this. What was this guy thinking bringing Google Glass into the theater? I mean, that's just such a no-brainer.
Yeah, that's why I said he was a douchebag. So we are not whitewashing what he did, because that's a douchebag move straight out. Because
frankly, dude, I don't know how I would feel about dealing with somebody. If somebody like if I'm having a meeting and a gentleman comes in with Google Glass, he's going to have to take that shit off, because I'm not having a meeting for his fucking video camera. We already have a thing where Quentin Tarantino was talking about how he gave his script to like six people and one of them leaked his fucking script. He only gave his script to six people and one guy just couldn't help himself and leaked it all over fucking Hollywood. Come on, man. Come on. I mean, what's next? They're just going to wear Google Glass when they read it, so they don't even really have to leak it. It's now on the Google Glass.
We're almost into science fiction movie territory here. We really are.
We are. We definitely are. I mean, have you seen, like, do you watch shows like The Blacklist on CBS or shows like that, these new super spy shows, super cop shows, and they're talking about cameras implanted into people's irises and shit? Because let's face it, folks, the military and our government has technology that we don't have. The Xerox machine was in use in the 60s. That's right. Xerox machines existed a long time ago, but they couldn't really figure out a way to monetize that. And they didn't really come into play until the late 70s or the 80s. Same with like cell phones. Cell phones were around and the military developed this technology for themselves. And then some genius at Motorola got the idea, well, let's test this untested technology on a civilian population.
It's the same thing with the internet. The internet was made for military use.
Mm-hmm. So we know they had the various spy planes way longer than we knew about it. They've had the stealth fighter, the stealth this. They've got stealth drones. They've got things we don't even know about. We haven't even thought about.
It's sickening, frankly.
It is. It is. So I just wanted to go into that Google Glass a little bit more, because it's very... I think it's kind of frightening that Homeland Security was involved in that, because it's my understanding that that's not their job. Their job is to be dealing with terrorism. And I don't know, man. A lot of crazy, scary stuff. A lot of crazy, scary stuff is going down. And we need to do something about it. I mean, that's part of why we talk about it. We talk about it so you folks at home know about it. Just because it's on the web doesn't mean people know. They're doing things to slow down the spread of news. Facebook has gotten rid of its organic news feed completely. I've noticed that my fucking wife posts all the time, and her fucking posts don't show up in my news feed. Well, on that note, I'm Hart Fisher. Silent but deadly with me has been Josh Hadley. And if you guys want to find us on the web,
me to a fart?
No, just silent but deadly. I don't let you talk as much on this segment. You are rampaging all what the fuck long, and then I kind of talk over you a lot, poor bastard. But getting back to contacting us, folks, if you've got a news story for us, if you've got something you want us to comment on, hit us up. You can find me on Twitter, Hart_Fisher. You can find us on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/HartAttackRadio. Find us at 1201beyond.com or the AmericanHorrors.com web store. Pick up some shirts, because, hey, that money goes right to us, and that's how we feed our families.
Here's a really cool invention to be in the third dimension. I'm gonna move, I'm gonna zoom right into your living room. Thank you.
So, Charlie, we've talked long and hard on this show before about police abuses. We talked about the guy that was multiple anal probes and whatnot. It seems like the South likes to think its cops not only are infallible, but can do any goddamn thing they want. And your dad being a cop, I know he doesn't have a lot of good things to say about cops because he saw it from the inside, right?
Right. We were just talking about this the other day. Let's see, by the time this airs, last week, a week ago, would have been his birthday. So I got a hold of him on Skype. He lives in the Philippines. And we were just talking about that, and he said that there was a guy in the same academy class as him with a swastika tattoo. And
what?
Back, with a swastika tattoo, not kidding. Like, full head of hair and everything. Like, on the surface, he was fine. But not until, like, he'd known him for, like, a couple of weeks did he see him without a shirt on, and he's got a swastika tattoo on his chest. And back in the 70s, there was not, like, a department that you could report shit like that to.
I would think that would be an automatic washout, but I guess I'm wrong.
It's just really bizarre. Like what he was telling me is that there needs to be...
Dewey Crow?
There needs to be a better test or screening process in place to prevent fucking people like that from becoming police officers, you know what I mean?
Well, you have that, which is just the power mad, I want to fuck with niggers kind of cop. But then you also have ones that either... Okay, there's two reasons for what I'm about to go into. Either they want to push up their stats via the drug war, which probably the best quote about the drug war ever comes from HBO's The Wire. It's not a war. Wars end. But to them, to cops, everything is a crime or could be a crime. And they cannot let anything just go. Greg Snyder, just a normal guy in Houston, Texas. He was sitting in his car on his phone making a business call. While in the parking lot, a homeless man came up to him and he gave the man $3. Well, he was immediately flagged down by police, stopped, yanked out of his car.
On a freeway, mind you.
On a freeway with traffic passing him. And then 10 more police cars came as backup. Keep in mind, he's not fighting. There's no resisting going on.
And there was never any drugs ever.
Hold on, you're jumping ahead. 10 more police cars show up. So that's 11 police cars to pull this man out of his car. Because they thought the 75 cents he gave the homeless man was a drug deal. Now keep in mind, how big is 75 cents? That would be, what, an ounce of pot? If it were a drug deal?
No, 75 cents? Like the amount of... Like what 75 cents looks like from a long point of view.
Yeah, physical space that takes up. That's not a lot of drugs, right?
No, that would be like less than a gram a pot. I mean, I don't know what that translates to in coke or anything, but that's not even a misdemeanor before it was legalized. You know what I mean?
And they told him, we saw you downtown. We saw what you did. They handcuffed him and kept him sitting in their car for an hour until they verified, and by the way, they tore his car apart, until they verified he ain't got no drugs. Not only did they not apologize, they just like, free to go.
Yeah.
What the fuck are the cops in this country coming to? Literally,
to chuckle
it
about
takes
it in the
11
station
cop cars, I'm assuming, with partners, that's 22 police officers to tear this man's car apart over a possible dime bag that was actually giving money to a homeless man. What is this country coming to? Is the drug war becoming this desperate, Charlie?
Yeah, I think it is.
You don't think this was overkill? 11 cop cars, arguably 20-some officers for what possibly would be not even a dealer's amount of drugs? Let's say it were drugs. That would still fall under recreational. And they wouldn't even get a dealer's charge out of that.
Right. I mean, it would have been overkill if they had actual proof of the guy, first of all, giving drugs to the homeless guy, and then, like, publicly sodomizing children while taking the Lord's name in vain and committing satanistic rituals. If they had proof of that, then it still would have been overkill.
And I just read one today. Three cops beat a black teenager to the point where they had to do reconstructive surgery on his genitals because he was wearing a scarf over his face on one of the coldest days in the city, in the city's history. And then after that, they arrested him at the hospital for resisting arrest. They gave him no charge, no charge of what they initially stopped him for, but he resisted arrest because he fought back against the cops as they were pummeling him in the testicles with nightsticks. Not only did they fuck him up to the point that he needed reconstructive emergency surgery on his testicles, then they come in to figuratively rub salt in the wounds. Oh yeah, we're still arresting you. For what? Resisting the initial arrest. What was the initial arrest for? Shut up, nigger.
That's not the point.
Yeah, that's not the point, damn it. What are the cops coming to in this country, Charlie? Cops are out of control. I'm sick of beating this point into the ground, because we've done this on how many episodes of this show, but it just seems to be getting worse, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we wouldn't be talking about it if shit didn't still happen.
And one of the reasons I bring it up to you is your dad was a cop. So I think you've got a unique insight into this.
It's people like that, cops like that, do more damage than you can initially detect. I mean, because they do damage by shit like that. This guy in West Virginia pulled over on a freeway, practically thrown into
Texas.
Traffic.
West Virginia is the bad water. This guy's in Texas.
Right. Okay, the bad water will get there eventually, I think. But this guy in Texas, almost thrown into traffic on a freeway for all he did was give a homeless guy 75 cents. People just, oh my God, I mean, cops like that do damage like that, but they also just crush any good intentions that good cops ever had or ever will have. I mean, when you are knee-deep in that kind of shit all the time, you lose any idealism you had that drove you to be a cop in the first place.
But there's also the fact that our cops are being trained like they're at war with the very society that they're policing. I'm not talking about criminals. I mean, actual criminals, you know, like the bangers and stuff. They are being trained now. I don't know how different this is from when your dad was a cop. But now they're being trained that everything is a threat. Every person you encounter could be a deadly encounter. You always have to be ready. Now, let's take a look at Germany for a second. Germany. 7 incidents of gun violence by police officers in Germany last year, 3 of which involved shooting the suspect. Do you think that's a tad smaller than in America? Most large American cities have that per hour by the police. And you cannot tell me that it's because Americans are more violent.
Well, I mean, you know what pacifists the fucking Germans are.
But, I mean, what does that say? German police are trained to defuse situations so they don't get to that. What's the first thing a cop is trained to do? The person gets out of line, they pull their taser or they pull their gun. Do you think that it's that the police state, and I don't mean that in an Alex Jones kind of way, I mean the police state, they're training them to be at war with, I mean, hell, they call people who are not cops civilians. That's a disturbing thing right there, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, that's just part of the military fixation that every single cop has at least a little bit. I mean, like, speaking just about my dad, in his case, he was in Vietnam, and he learned a lot about firearms, and he just came to like firearms, just in general. So when he got back, he joined a police academy, because, hey, there's guns there. And that was about what got him into it. I don't know. I mean, there's always been treat everyone as a possible threat to a certain extent. And every cop, just, you know, just by virtue of being a cop, picks up on that a little bit. But it didn't really explode and become an official part of the academy curriculum until after 9/11. I mean, you got to admit, shit, in terms of law enforcement, shit got real after 9/11.
But what does that say about the society that they're preparing for? How do you make the society better when you are going into every situation as if it's worst case scenario? For instance, say you go to a nonviolent domestic. It's just a husband and wife yelling at each other. Now, in Europe, they will try and defuse that situation and not make arrests. In America, one of them's going to jail. That's the law. Someone's going to jail because the cops showed up.
Yeah.
That almost puts an us against them mentality to us civilians versus the cops, doesn't it?
I think it does exactly that. There's no almost about it.
So I think we, as the civilians, are being set up, whether it's intentional or not, into a conflict we can't win.
Yeah, I mean, it's a deadly perfect storm of racism and quota meeting.
Quota, don't even get me started on quotas. Quotas have fucked up more police departments than the racists have, even.
You know that's a factor, though.
Oh, yeah, it is. Here's how to notice quotas in your town. Doesn't matter what American city you live in. Check how many times you see people pulled over for speeding tickets, running a red light, rolling through a stop sign, something like that, at the end of the month compared to the beginning of the month. Because at the beginning of the month, they can still meet their quota legitimately. Last 5 days of the month, my quota says I have to hand out 25 tickets this week. So otherwise, I'm going to stop every minor infraction is getting a ticket.
Yes. Otherwise, we won't get as much money next year.
Exactly.
The perfect combination of greed and racism has given us what we now know as law enforcement.
I'm not saying every cop is like this. For every one of these scumbag cops who's going to anally violate a suspect, I'm gonna say there's probably 2 to 3 good cops who actually got into this because they think they can make a difference. I think they're fooling themselves, but I think that I'd like to believe that. And in my time, I've encountered the cops under negative circumstances more than once. I had an active teenage lifestyle. And I have met cops who were really down to earth and really nice and weren't power trippers. And then I've also met the kind that are in it because it gives them authority over somebody else, and they are basically thugs and bullies.
And you don't even drink.
And I don't even drink. That's the weird part.
I don't know, man. I mean, I don't know if I have any more to say about it, because this has been, like, especially depressing, because I was just talking to my dad about this just a couple days ago. But I don't know. I mean, I would encourage legitimately good cops to just fucking keep at it for as long as you can hack it. No one expects a miracle, but just push yourself. You're going to have to.
Like I said, I think there are probably more good cops than there are bad cops. Problem is, the good cops, when a bust goes by the numbers and the guy did it and they read their rights properly and they go to trial, that doesn't make the news, does it?
No.
So we don't hear about that. So I don't want to seem like I'm, you know, on one of these all cops are pigs and all this, because I'm not. I just want to point out when cops do step over the line, what kind of an indicator that is societally.
Right. And also, you and I are both white, so take that with a big grain of salt, too.
Yeah, you can put it like that, yeah. So, since you're white, where can people find you?
Since I'm white, you know, The Gap, Starbucks.
You're not that white.
Listening to some Paul McCartney that I bought at that Starbucks.
You're not that white.
No, you can find me on Facebook. You can find me on the Twitter, at Charlie McMullen.
The Twitter?
Yeah.
You're really getting old, aren't you?
Yeah, I guess I am. That's okay. And geekjewishmedia.com.
You can find me at the1201beyond.com.
Yes.
At thegeekjuicemedia.com on the interwebs. And you can contact the show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. Have a good night, guys.
These are a series of tubes.
Drugs. TV, start cutting open the burger shop. Let's go start cutting open the burger shop.
Cracker, neighborhood street. Cracker, bring a half party. Zero tolerance for pop. Easier to get our stuff.
What the fuck is a 1201 Beyond production? Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.